Thank you so much. We're excited that that class got to meet this fall and that they were able to have that time together to learn about worship and to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper today. We're thankful you are here. So this week, I saw a meme posted by a friend. It said, next week is exhausting. Next week is exhausting. It was simple, it was plain, and it resonated with so many of us. How can we be tired for a week that hasn't even happened yet? Because next week isn't a holiday where we anticipate gathering with friends, is it? Because next week isn't a regular week. Come to mention it, this month hasn't been a regular month, and this year hasn't been a regular year. One of my friends summed it up best when she said, the strangest thing that has happened to me so far is canceling preschool this week in Atlanta for a hurricane in October. That's where we are. We're exhausted with next week because as a society, we have started to lean away instead of lean in. We've leaned away from each other, emotionally and physically, and we've leaned away from the support systems and safe spaces that we have. We've leaned away from our faith even, right? The truest form of security we have is through Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, but yet we forget and we lean away. Instead, we do what we do and we grab hold of the closest thing to us, and it's not usually the healthiest thing. We hold on tight. We try to control the things that we can control in the middle of the chaos. And then we begin to think we're not worthy. That yet God has claimed us as His, that we do not feel worthy to be part of God's family. We are sinners of our own right. But we have been redeemed. We have been saved through Jesus Christ. So today I'm reading a blend of a psalm, Psalm 13, and then a letter, 1 Corinthians 13, on purpose. It's a blend. It's a blend of the psalm of lament with Paul's words of affirmation. And the two are intertwined together. Because as God's people, we need to be reminded that we are human and that we have faults, but that we also have a comforter who waits for us. In the blend, you will hear the calling out of David as he struggles with the feeling of being abandoned by God, and then the affirmation of God's perfect agape love in this letter to Corinth. David hungers for comfort, and Paul's words are a reminder of the comfort that we get through God, by God, and in God. Hear the word of the Lord. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God, light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up my childish ways. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall fully know, even as I have been fully known. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Our humanness, right? We want to be loved abundantly. We need to be seen. We need to be heard. And we try to fill these holes in our lives with things, with tasks, with good works even. If I do this, then I'll feel better about that. But the truth is we can't fill those holes ourselves. We in our full and gorgeous and handsome selves can't fill our hearts alone. This is why we cry out. This is why we need help. Sometimes we feel irrelevant. Sometimes we feel invisible. Sometimes we feel lost and lonely in the middle of a crowd. The darkness can feel overwhelming. And this is why we cry out. We cry out with our heavy hearts to God, with our eyes filled with tears and a lump in our throat. The enemy isn't the person. The enemy at that time is actually the darkness. We cry out for answers and for light to be ignited in our hearts. Paul's words from 1 Corinthians remind us that the enemy of darkness has been conquered by God and through God's love. God's love is patient and kind. God's love doesn't boast. God's love doesn't belittle or bully or put us down. God's love rejoices with truth. God's love can hold us in all the ways we need to be held. God's love is filled with hope. We rejoice in knowing that God's steadfast love will fill our cup again. Paul's message isn't about filling our own spiritual cups, however. Paul's message in 1 Corinthians is about how we live in community. It's about how we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, as the body of people, how God hems us in and fills us with abundance and cares for us and shows us how to care for one another. It's about how we love the people who are in front of us and behind us, beside us, and beyond us. And yet, we forget. In our forgetting, we forget to share that abundant love. We put strings on that love. We become dividers with our grace, as though our love and our grace will run out. And so we have to use what we deem necessary. Sometimes we use what we hold tightly with people who look like us. We reserve it only for those that we are comfortable among. Sometimes it's with the people who think like us. We reserve our love for those who are like-minded in our theology and other ways we choose to live. Sometimes it's with people who agree with us. We reserve our love for those who say yes to the same things we do and don't challenge our passions. But God's love is patient and kind. God's love doesn't boast. God's love doesn't belittle or bully or put us down. God's love rejoices in the truth. God's love can hold us in all the ways we want to be held. God's love is filled with hope. God's love set a table. God's love invited the disciples to come and grow in God's word. God sent Jesus to the world to bless the bread and to break it. God's love gave us the word which told us he would soon die for the sins of the world. And it's God's love that said, "Do this in remembrance of me." God's love conquered death. God's love conquered sin. God's love conquered darkness so that we may have life and mercy and the light we seek. Let's not forget to share that abundant love. Let's not put strings on that love. Let's covenant not to become dividers with our grace, as though our love and our grace will completely run out. Let us share that love that God has shared so faithfully with us. Let's share it with people who don't look like us, with people who don't think like us, with people who don't agree with us. And when we cry out to God because our heart is seeking kindness and love and patience and hope, let's remember what God does in return. When we cry out, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" Let's remember that if we speak in tongues of men and angels but don't have love, we are a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Even if we have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge and have faith to move mountains, but we don't have love, we are not full. If we give away all that we have and deliver up our body but do not have love, we do not gain anything. And so we will still cry out, "How long must I take counsel in my soul? How long must I have sorrow in my heart? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" We remember God's words that love is patient and kind, and love doesn't envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. God's love is not irritable or resentful. God's love does not rejoice at the wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. God's love with us bears all things and believes all things and hopes all things. God's love can endure all things. When we cry out to God and say, "Consider and answer me, O Lord my God, light up my eyes that I may sleep, lest my enemies say I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken," we remember that God's love never ends. Prophecies will pass away and cease. Knowledge will go away as well. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. We say, "When I was like a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child." And as we grow, we remember that we became adults. We gave up some of our childish ways. For now we see in the mirror dimly, and then we see face to face. Now we know in part that we shall fully know that God fully knows us, and we can rejoice. We can say, "I have trusted in your steadfast love." Our hearts together rejoice in the salvation that you bring. We can sing to the Lord because the Lord has dealt bountifully with us. So now faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest is love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.